Hello, and welcome. In this first iteration of this live podcast, I am going to be talking about perfectionism as a college student and provide you with some tips to deal with the anxiety that it can often cause. By the end of this podcast, this video, you'll know exactly what to do to move through the paralyzing anxiety that arises when you're trying to be the perfect student. My name is Clarissa. I am the creator of She Rocks at College, the creator of Study School and the Study Ritual. And I think it's important that we start off this conversation by defining perfectionism so that you can be clear if you fall into the perfectionist trap that I'll be touching on throughout this conversation. So psychologists define perfectionism as a person striving for flawlessness and setting high performance standards. Now, you may think, well, what's wrong with having high standards? What's wrong with wanting to be the best version of yourself? And there's nothing wrong with the high standards. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be your best. It's not having those standards that's the issue for perfectionists. It's what they make being perfect or not being perfect mean about them. And the second half of the psychologist definition, which I'm going to read for you in a second, explains that. So perfectionism is a person striving for flawlessness and setting high performance standards, but it has to be accompanied by critical self-evaluation, so self-judgment, and concern regarding other people's evaluations of yourself or regarding how other people see you or judge you. And this concern or fear about not being perfect, what that means about them. So that's really what causes the anxiety for perfectionists. It's if I make a mistake, I'm dumb. If I'm, you know, if I don't get into medical school, then I'm not smart enough. It's if I have to work really hard at this, then it must not be for me. That is the difference between somebody who just, you know, reaches for high standards and tries to be the best version of themselves and a perfectionist. The perfectionist is overly concerned with how other people view them, and they're super, 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 super self-critical. And the other thing that I want to say is, I think that if we're going to have this conversation, if we're going to be real about the conversation that we're having right now, we also need to define anxiety, because anxiety is a normal human emotion. Everybody on this planet experiences some form of anxiety at some point in their life. It's just nervousness. However, that is different than anxiety disorders. So the most common anxiety disorder is generalized anxiety disorder, and that is clinically defined as feeling excessive and unrealistic worry and tension with little or no reason, and it often affects your ability to carry on with life normally. Now, the phrase that I want you to focus on intently is it is an unrealistic worry with little or no reason. Now, I want to clarify that most people who experience anxiety, they have a reason to have the worry, right? They might have experienced something in the past that caused them to feel the way that they feel, to cause them to worry about whatever it is that they're worrying about. So usually it comes after having experienced a uncomfortable or traumatic event. You know, maybe they failed a test in the past. Maybe someone laughed at them during a presentation, or maybe their parents reacted really poorly or negatively to a bad grade, right? So maybe like they got a really harsh reaction from their parents after getting a C in one of their classes. So it stems from something that happened to them in the past. And it doesn't mean that this person's crazy for worrying about it. It's just that right now, there's no reason for them to be worried about it because it's not actually happening to them. They haven't actually failed the test. I mean, they haven't even taken it yet. They're just thinking about taking it. They aren't fumbling over their words during a presentation. They're just thinking about the possibility that it might happen and that someone might laugh at them. No one is laughing at them in the moment. The only thing that they're worrying about is the potential that it could happen. So they are basically just creating the situation in their minds by thinking about it. And it's really important that you understand this. So the unrealistic worry that arises is often caused by just our thoughts. Just by thinking about the potential of something happening, the potential of failing an exam, the potential of stumbling over your words during a presentation, the potential of your professor telling you, you know, you're not getting this, you're not smart. And there are specific branches of psychotherapy meant to deal with these generalized anxiety disorders. And one of the branches is called cognitive behavioral therapy. And in that type of psychotherapy, they actually teach patients to recognize and change the thought patterns that trigger the anxiety. So if you wanted, you know, clinical and expert proof on the fact that anxiety really is just this obsessive thought process that occurs in your mind, here you have it. There's a whole field that teaches people how to recognize that thought pattern and start to change it so that the anxiety can be managed. But I mean, where did we learn this perfectionist identity in the first place? Really simple, guys. We learned it from just being alive. The second that we were born, we were being bombarded with conditioning to be perfect. It comes from life, interacting with your parents, interacting with your family members. Our school system is a huge conditioning factory for this perfectionist identity. The media, society, anything that edits and curates and hides failures from us and only shows us all the overnight success stories, right? Instagram is full of these, you know, hashtag living my best life kind of situation. So what happens is that we get exposed to this so much that we develop a belief system that values perfect, that values flawless, that values effortless. And by the way, if you're not familiar with the way that I identify or define a belief, so a belief is just a thought or an idea that we have chosen to believe and adopt as true for us. And that thought or idea often gets reinforced by what we choose to focus on. And what we choose to focus on sometimes is conscious, but a majority of the time, what we focus on is actually unconscious, and it is controlled by the reticular activating system inside of the brain. So what happens is, by us seeing constantly on social media, seeing constantly on the television, seeing constantly on Netflix, all of these perfect, successful, overnight success people, is that we develop a belief system that values being perfect, that values being flawless, that values being and achieving things effortlessly without having to put any work. And that's the society that we live in right now, where all we see are everyone's highlight reels, right? Instagram is full of this. All we see is people already having learned things. We don't get to see, you know, when the point in time where they didn't know, right? Where Oprah didn't know how to interview somebody, where Steve Jobs, you know, didn't know how to build a computer. We don't see people's failures along the way. And it perpetuates the belief that people are born with these abilities, that they're naturals. And it's a lie. No one comes into this world knowing how to do things, not even babies. We are conditioned to believe that you're either born smart or you're not. This is a belief system that we're either great at science and math or we're not, that we're great public speakers or we're not, that these are natural abilities that are set in stone, that can't be cultivated, that can't be developed. And what happens is that we see people who are successful. We see people who are perfect. We see people who are flawless. We see people who seem to make life effortless. And we see that these people who are talented, who are smart, who are successful get praised and they get so much attention and everybody loves them. And we begin to think that to be liked and to be loved equals being perfect. And if you fail, and if you show your flaws, and if you aren't perfect, what will people think of you? No one will love you unless you're perfect. And love, feeling like you belong, feeling like people want to be around you, feeling liked, is one of the six human needs, which means that we will do anything and everything to maintain it and to achieve it. We will do anything to maintain the image of being the smart girl in class. We will do anything to maintain the image of being a prodigy. We will do anything to maintain the image of being the ideal student or being the pretty girl or being the smart, pretty, and successful girl or being the girl who is on track to medical school or being the girl who is on track to becoming a nurse. We will do anything to protect that image because we see it as being a part of a group, as being loved, perfect, being perfect. Perfectionism is so highly valued that we believe that in order to be loved, we cannot ever fail. We cannot ever let anybody see behind the scenes when we're not perfect. And when I talk about anything, I literally mean anything because love is one of the six basic human needs. We need it to survive. Babies, when they're born, and I'm a labor and delivery nurse, if they're not hugged, if they're not cuddled, if they're not shown affection, they develop something called failure to thrive, and they actually die from lack of love, from lack of affection. And anytime we feel that we will lose out on love, that we will no longer belong, our brain signals to us, hey, we're going to die. Because that's how we survived back in the days when we lived in caves. If you were part of the group, you had that protection, you had everybody kind of having your back, and that meant that you lived. But if you went off from the pack, usually you died. And our brain has kept that idea, has kept that survival mechanism of stay with the group, be loved, have everybody protect you. And anytime it feels like it's losing that love, it will do anything, even if it makes no sense, anything to try to keep you safe and alive. So how does this show up for students who are perfectionists? Well, here are some examples for you. We'll only sign up for classes and majors we know we can pass so that we can always look smart. We won't hand in papers or homework assignments because of the fear that we won't get an A once we hand it in. I can't tell you the amount of students who I've worked with one-on-one who have failed a paper because they did not turn it in. And when I ask them, well, why didn't you turn it in? They say, well, because I was afraid that I was going to get a bad grade on it. But they ended up with a bad grade anyway because they didn't just hand in the paper. Right? It doesn't make any logical sense to us when we think about it and say it out loud. But to the brain is like, hey, we cannot fail because failure equals no love and no love equals death. I see students all the time who won't go to office hours because God forbid, right, that the professor finds out that you're not perfect or that you don't know as much as he or she thought you did, right? Well, wait until the last minute, you know, the night before the exam to study, because then we can blame the fact that we failed on studying at the last minute versus, oh, it was because I wasn't smart enough, right? We don't want to face that. So we avoid putting in the effort, avoid putting in our full effort, because it's easier for us to handle that we failed because we didn't put in our full effort than for us to fail having put in our full effort, if that makes sense. And all of this sounds crazy when you think about it, when you hear me say it, but because perfectionists are consumed with how people see them, they're consumed with how, with holding on to the label that they want people to associate to them, they take actions that make no sense just to keep up that facade. And sometimes these actions are pure self-sabotage, right? And a lot of it happens on the unconscious level. We're not aware of it. And that's what's called the perfectionist paradox, right? So perfectionists want to be great, but they want to be great without having to work hard for it. And they want to be great really, really fast, right? They want to be great overnight, which hinders them because they're afraid to fail, which means that they never become great because they quit the moment that the greatness takes any amount of effort or any amount of time. And one of the psychologists called Carol Dweck, in her book Mindset, did some amazing work on this perfectionist identity that I'm talking about today. And she categorizes perfectionists into two different mindsets or belief systems. So the first one she calls the fixed mindset perfectionist. So the fixed mindset perfectionists believe that a person's qualities, talents, and intelligence are fixed, right? They're set in stone. There's no amount of effort, no amount of anything is going to change it. You're smart or you're not. You're talented or you're not. You're a prodigy or you're not. These types of students are driven by classes, assignments, situations, majors, and life experiences that make them feel extremely accomplished all of the time. They are consumed with making zero mistakes, and they are consumed with doing everything perfectly. What this looks like is that they never take any risks, right? They only sign up for classes they know that they can pass. They only enter challenges or enter contests if they know they can win. They never stretch themselves. They never challenge themselves because they want to maintain this perfect identity. They want to avoid failure at all costs because it ruins their image of being perfect. And like I said at the beginning of this, we value perfect. We value flawless. We value effortless because of the belief system that we have adopted. And because people who are perfect, because people who are flawless effortlessly get love and attention, we have made it equal that being perfect equals love. Not perfect equals not love. And remember, to the brain, no love equals death. So that is the first type of perfectionist that Carol Dweck talks about. The second type of perfectionist that Carol Dweck talks about is called the growth mindset perfectionist. So the growth mindset perfectionist believes that talents, personal qualities, and intelligence can be developed through effort, can be developed through mentoring, and can be developed through practice. Now, these types of students, so students with the growth-minded perfectionist identity, are driven by growth. Growth is another one of the six human needs. They're driven by potential and the pure magical vision of possibility, curiosity, and wonder. They still want to be great. So just like the fixed-minded perfectionists, they have high standards. They still want to be the best that they can be, but they are not so concerned with it that with how the path looks. They're not so concerned with that the path to greatness looks perfect. As long as they get there eventually, they're okay with it. As long as they hit their goal, they're fine with a little a few bumps in the road. They don't care about that. What they care about is the overall goal that they have for themselves. I want to get to medical school. I don't care what happens in the journey to get to medical school. I just want to get to medical school and become a doctor, right? They don't care what happens along the way. They don't care if they fumble. They don't care if they have to take an extra year. They're not concerned with that, because what they want more than anything is to grow, to meet their full potential, and to have possibility and curiosity and wonder, right? The growth-minded perfectionists realize the power in not yet. They realize the possibility in the not yet, because when things aren't set in stone, what can happen is endless. There's so much possibility in the not yet, in the I haven't made it to medical school yet, in the I haven't gotten the 3.8 GPA yet. Do you hear the possibility in that? And I don't know how this makes you feel, right? I don't know how it makes you feel, but to me, that feels amazing. It makes me feel like anything is possible. It makes me feel expansive. It makes me feel abundant. It makes me feel super supported and like I can trust myself to make anything that I want to achieve happen. While when we think about the fixed-minded perfectionists and we think about their only goal is I need to do this perfect. I need to not fail. I need to like just be perfect, perfect, perfect. That is very limiting. To me, when I think about that, it makes me feel scarce. It makes me feel like there's this urgency, like, oh my God, if it doesn't happen right now, I'm going to die. I have to do more, do all the time, faster, faster. It's never going to be enough. And I want to know your thoughts about this, about what I'm talking about. So in the comments section, there should be a live chat as well as comments. How do you feel, or how did you feel when I talked about the growth-minded perfectionist versus the fixed-minded perfectionist? So now that we've defined perfectionism, now that we talked about why it causes anxiety, what do we do about it? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you a process that has helped me and that most growth mindset coaches, psychotherapists, and even Carol Dweck, the psychologist who a lot of this work is based off of, suggests. So step number one is awareness. Awareness means knowing the definition of what perfectionism is and knowing that there are two different types of perfectionists. You already did that part by watching this live podcast, by tuning in. You brought it to your conscious awareness. And awareness is always step one in the process of change, because you can't change something if you don't know there's a problem in the first place. So becoming aware of it is always step one. But if you're not sure the type of perfectionist that you are, if you don't know if you primarily operate from a growth-minded perfectionist identity or if you primarily operate from a fixed-minded perfectionist identity, in the comments after this video is posted, after this podcast is posted, I am going to put in the show notes, in the description, a link to a quiz that you can take that will help you to see which mindset you primarily operate in. Because we always have both, right? We always have, there are always going to be certain situations where you kind of look at it from a fixed mindset, and there are other situations where you always look at it from a growth mindset, but we primarily operate from one or the other. So if you want to find out which one you're currently in, you can go ahead and take that quiz after I post this. But we can also take it a step further by being aware of what triggers us to fall into the fixed mindset. So step two of this five-step process that I'm walking you through, right? So step one was awareness. Step two is to identify the thought patterns that trigger your anxiety or your perfectionism, and how it harms you. So I'm going to give you a list of questions, but I also created a workbook for you to go through this process of identifying these thoughts, patterns, and so that you can start making progress from moving from a fixed mindset perfectionist identity to a growth mindset perfectionist identity. I'm going to be walking college women through this process, through this workbook live next week inside of my Secret Study Society private Facebook group. Anybody can join that group who requests. I will make sure to put a link to the workbook as well as a link to the Facebook group in the description box in the show notes of this video. So if you want to be coached through this process, coached through the questions, and just make sure that you, after this video posts, you go there, you sign up, you get added to the Facebook group. This month's focus inside of that Facebook group is going to be all about overcoming perfectionism and developing a growth mindset. And on the third week of this month, so not this next Monday that's coming up, but the Monday after, I've created a whole challenge, a 5-day challenge. And every day I'm going to be giving you prompts. I'm going to be giving you different things to do to help you fully embody what it's like to be a growth-minded perfectionist versus a fixed-minded perfectionist. And again, that's going to be exclusive to the Facebook group. So make sure that you join that once it's posted. But here are some questions that you can start thinking about now to help you identify the thought patterns that trigger your perfectionist, your fixed-minded perfectionist identity. So what's your ideal of a successful student? When you think about a student being successful, what does that look like for you? And then how do you match up to it? How do you compare? And how does that make you feel? Where did this ideal come from? Whose judgment or criticism do you fear? Because remember, one of the key indicators, according to psychologists, of somebody who's a perfectionist, a bona fide perfectionist, is that they not only have these high standards and this need to never make mistakes, but they care so much about how other people judge them and view them. So whose judgment and criticism do you fear? What will happen if that person, that family member, that teacher, whoever found out that you failed, made a mistake, and weren't perfect? And I want you to picture having the conversation with them. What would they say to you if you actually had the conversation with them? Create an exhaustive list of all the situations that trigger your fixed mindset perfectionist identity. And what thoughts does your fixed mindset produce? So what are the thoughts that are creating the anxiety like I talked about before? So what this does is it helps you realize that those thoughts aren't the real you. You're able to separate you, right? Your soul, who you truly are, from just the thoughts that are passing by. You're just able to look at them objectively and say, that's nice, but that's not me. So one of the things that I do to help me with that is I actually give my fixed mindset perfectionist identity a name, and I've named her Paris Geller. So if you've ever watched Gilmore Girls, you'll know why I named my perfectionist identity Paris Geller. And whenever I think about her, I picture the situation in which she did not get accepted into Harvard University. And so therefore, then she like completely gave up any effort towards being in high school whatsoever. And she's like at home eating ice cream, watching daytime television, and basically was going to give up on her whole future of becoming a doctor just because she didn't get into. She got into every other Ivy League school, but just because she didn't get into Harvard, all of a sudden she wasn't good enough. And that's what I picture. And that's why I called my perfectionist identity, my fixed mindset perfectionist identity, Paris Geller. I'll put a link to the Gilmore Girls episode in the description and in the show notes so that you guys can watch it because it's pretty funny. But give her or him an identity so that every time you start having those thoughts of, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'll never get this, I'm not cut out for this, I can't learn how to do this, you can say, oh, there goes Paris Geller again with her crazy thoughts. And you can detach yourself from those thoughts and realize that they are not you. That they are not you. So step one was awareness. Okay. Step two was to answer the questions that I gave you. And step three was to give your perfectionist side, your fixed-minded perfectionist side, a persona. Step four is to feel the full spectrum of the discomfort. And then call out your persona and tell her the truth. Part of the problem with working on our mindset is that we often avoid the work on how to deal with it because it's uncomfortable. It makes us feel what Joe Dispenza calls survival emotions. And survival emotions are any emotions that don't feel good, that make us feel like we're dying. So those emotions are fear, disappointment, anxiety, anger, disgust, shame, sadness, and depression. By the way, just as a side note, inside of the English language, we have a lot of words to describe the same emotions. So they may energetically in your body feel the same. So like fear, anxiety, angst, or anything like that might feel the same in your body. We just use different words to describe them, but really it's the same feeling. The same goes for like joy, happiness, excitement. It's all the same feeling when we actually feel it in our body, but we just use different words to describe it. But truly, the only way to overcome anxiety is to move through it. So you actually have to feel the emotion. You have to go through the process of feeling the anxiety, of feeling the fear, and allowing it to move through you so that you can process it. And this isn't something that you work on once, right? It's not like you process anxiety once and then you don't ever have to deal with it anymore. You're going to have to do it on a daily basis. I do it on an hourly basis. You know, anytime I'm starting to think like Paris Geller, I'm like, hey, girl, I see you. I feel you. I hear you. But it's not true. It's not true. What you're telling me is not true. That is not me. But thank you. Thank you for trying to protect me. Thank you for trying to keep me alive. Thank you for trying to help us avoid death, but I'm good. Thanks. I'm good, right? I have this conversation with myself. Like I said, so it's something that you work on constantly, not just once. It's not a one and done deal. Like you work on it constantly. As we experience new things, we will always have moments where we have self-doubt because it's the first time that we're doing it. So there's always going to be some nerves around it. But this isn't about being perfect, right? The process that I'm telling you to walk yourself through today isn't about being perfect. It's about overcoming the perfectionism. It's about making progress towards being more in the growth minded perfectionist identity than you are in the fixed minded perfectionist identity. It's about understanding that it's normal to fail. Everybody fails. Every single person fails. No one talks about it, but every person fails. Nobody talks about it. And the only way that as a society, as a collective, that we're going to be able to move past this is if more of us are open about our failures. If we start hiding behind the shame of it, when it's brought to the light, we can deal with it. When it's brought to the light, it's not so much of a big deal anymore. So start talking about your failures, become comfortable with them, because that's where growth happens, guys. That is where growth happens. It's about understanding, like I said, that failure is normal and putting effort in is normal. Nobody gets anything on the first try. Okay. And if they do, it's usually a fluke. They probably can't repeat it again. It takes practice to make progress. Practice makes progress, not perfect. I know you thought that I was going to say that, but practice makes progress, meaning the more you practice, the better that you get and the more potential you have to meet your greatness. It's okay to have these thoughts where you feel like you're not good enough. It's okay to have these thoughts where you're doubting yourself. It's okay to feel that way when you fail a test. It's okay to feel that way when you didn't get into the graduate program that you wanted to get into. It's okay to feel that way when something didn't go right. It's okay to feel it. You need to feel it in order to realize, hey, this is something that I no longer want to feel. Hey, this is something that it's not a good experience and I want to fix it. I want to make sure that I can do something so that I never go through this again. Once you become aware that this is happening, you can take a deep breath. You can call out your persona, right? You can say, Paris Geller, thank you very much, but no thanks. And tell her the truth. It's not true. I don't have to be perfect. It's not true that I'm not cut out for math. I just need to put in a little bit more work. Learn how to learn math, right? And yes, when you start doing these, and it might be really difficult for you to wrap your mind around this conversation that I'm having today because it's a very meta concept. It's thinking about thinking, which makes you feel like you're going down a rabbit hole that you're never going to come out of. But that's why you're here, right? To learn. That's why you go to college to learn. If you knew everything that you needed to know, if you were perfect at everything right now, you wouldn't be spending $45,000 a year in college right now, would you? So you're in college to learn. Yes, you may have gotten a 65 on that test, but you can find out a way to fix it for the next one. Yes, you might have not been accepted to the program, but it doesn't mean that you still can achieve whatever it is that you want. There is always another way. You're figuring it out. What else can you do? It's about asking yourself questions that open up possibility for you versus keeping you scarce and up against a wall with no place to be. What else can I do? What else is out there for you? What other ways can I make this happen? It's about looking at yourself and your life from a loving perspective, extending grace to yourself. It's about allowing yourself to become. Because just like feeling love is a basic human need, so is growth. If we're not growing, we're dying. So our mind will also try to put us in situation that force us to grow because it's a basic human need. So step one is to become aware, right? Step two is to start asking yourself questions that help you identify when you're being inside of the fixed mindset identity. Step number three is to give your fixed mindset perfectionist identity a persona. Four is to feel the emotions, feel the discomfort of whatever it is that you're thinking. But then call your persona out and tell her the truth. Step five is to make it a daily practice. So because, like I said, practice makes progress, not perfect. Practice makes progress. What are all of the opportunities for you to learn today? Start your day with that question. Start your day with the question, when, where, and how will I make sure I learn something today? How will I make sure that I grow today? At the end of your day, ask yourself the question, what did I struggle at today? And what did I learn from it? Because this, guys, this is what life is about. If you knew everything already, if you experienced everything already, every emotion, every situation, if you knew how to do everything already, life would be so boring. What would be the point of it? The reason why we're here is to feel. to experience everything, failure, success, loss, gain, the full spectrum of emotion and experiences. Otherwise, life would be so boring. And honestly, I don't think that we would be here. So I hope that this conversation that we had today about perfectionism, why it causes anxiety, and what we can start doing to embrace perfectionism from a place of growing and becoming better versus a place of, if I'm not perfect, life isn't worth living. If I'm not perfect, then I'm not good enough. I hope that this was helpful. I hope that you're walking away with some tools that you can use to get out of your own way. And this is going to be like the new thing for me on this YouTube channel. So I'm going to be doing one new podcast video a month. It's going to be the first Monday of every month at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Each video is going to come with a worksheet and a corresponding detailed blog post for students who prefer to read information. It's also going to come in an audio format for students who prefer to listen to podcasts. I'm going to be walking everybody through the actual worksheet and coaching you on the worksheet and helping you through it inside of the Secret Study Society private Facebook group, which the links for all of everything that I'm talking about will be in the show notes and in the description box of this video. The third week of the month, we're going to do a challenge to help you take action on what I'm teaching, because I'm so sick of all of the videos that you guys are watching that are not helping you to actually take action. So all you're doing is consuming information and you're never applying it to your life. So you're never seeing any progress. So you just keep watching the videos over and over because you think that if you continue to watch, you'll become better. No, doing, taking action is what helps you to become better, right? It only works if you work it. So I'm going to be creating a challenge that kind of forces you to take that action and see the progress and see the results. And that will be done inside of the private Facebook group as well. So if you want to get notified of all of that, make sure that you join the She Rocks at College email list. Again, the link to that will be in the description box. So that's it, y'all. I'm going to be responding to comments right after this video. So thank you so much for joining me live. Bye.